Today I want to basically say from God's Word is Brother Paul, preach it, preach it, preach it. The message he makes is so clear this morning about three kinds of men, and that includes woe man as well, okay? General humanity. And as I read this and studied this and prayed about this, I really got excited because I get to stick my foot in my face again according to the ways of the world. And you know I just love doing that. What Paul is telling us is that there are basically three kind of men, three kind of people in this world. There is the spiritual person. There is the natural person, and there is the carnal person. And right off the bat, I need us to understand something. We fit in one of these two categories, beginning with spiritual and natural. Okay? We are in there. There's nothing in between that. And so Paul defines the spiritual man as opposed to the natural man. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading through that chapter as well as the beginning of chapter 3, okay? But I'm going to do it in parts. So if you will turn there with me, I want to ask you to stand as I at least read part one and remain standing for prayer. Now, as he introduces this chapter, we cannot forget what he ends chapter one with. And he ends chapter one with saying, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
If we're going to glory in anything, we need to glory in the Lord, because He is the only reason we have hope, confidence, and a promise for tomorrow. Only Him. So, he continues in chapter 2 to say, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him, for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not to words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We just ask you to be with us this morning as we proceed through your word, Lord God, that it will speak to our hearts in a mighty and a great and a mighty way. Lord Jesus, I stand here before you claiming to know nothing but you crucified. Lord God, understanding where Paul is coming from, that he definitely and truly has it right. And Lord God, may we get it right in the same way that he did, knowing that all glory goes to you and to you alone for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sin. Lord God, be with us and give us strength. Give us wisdom and give us that understanding, Lord God, that only the Spirit of God can to his believers. Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ, our Holy Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I relate to Paul this morning in the fact that I'm not coming to you with great speech etiquette, having all the proper and great and wonderful words of being able to dazzle you with. But I do come to you this morning in the name of the Savior in whom I know, and his name is Jesus. Paul writes here something that we need to understand. We need to understand that when we go out and give the name of Jesus, we don't go out and give that name in the spirit of this world. We don't go out and give that name in the spirit of the great philosophers and the great worldly wisdom that is around us. We don't go out and give that name because they don't know that name. We go out and give that name in the one to whom you and I both know. And his name is Jesus. What I want us to understand this morning is simple. In this first part, or in chapter 2, he outlines two men, two types of men, two types of humans. One is the spiritual, and the other is the natural. And there are several things that we can learn about both of these. The spiritual man is a born-again, Jesus Christ-believing, having a relationship with him in their heart, person. Do you understand that? That is the spiritual man. And what we understand here, to kind of give us a little insight, he tells us that it's as if, in order to know God, and the only way you can know God is because you are indwelt with his Spirit. Because his Spirit reveals to us the knowledge and the understanding of who God is. And he relates that to humans, no humans, because of the spirit that we carry as humanity. We understand one another. You know, I thought about this. You know, I've heard so many people say, you know, as you speak, they have said, I can't tell you how many times you took the words right out of my mouth. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you experienced that? That's the human spirit connection, okay? We understand one another. But I'm here to tell you, this is not Mufasa's circle of life. You get me? The Lion King holding up and says, oh, we all come from one spirit. No, we do not. I remember watching a movie one time many, many, many moons ago called The Clan of the Cave Bear. I would not recommend that to anybody. But I watched it, and they were teaching about spirit guides. How many have heard that? Come on, I know everybody in here. It's very, very native to our area in Indian culture. It's very, very native to other regions of the world where they believe that we have spirit guides. In this movie, One guy was searching for his spirit guide. Well, as he was searching, one had a bear, one had a wolf. His was a tiger. Yeah. And he come face to face with that tiger. What would have been the instinct of that tiger? To bite his head off. And you want to know why? Because our spirits don't match. He comes from an animal kingdom spirit. They understand each other. Tigers understand tigers. Bears understand bears. That's because they're of the same spirit. Humans are of the same spirit as well. We are not part of the animal kingdom spirit. Isn't it funny that everybody that believes in spirit guides has never heard anybody say, my spirit guide is a mosquito? Yeah. Has anybody ever heard my spirit guide is a garden slug? Or better yet, mine is a cockroach. No, it's always these big and powerful animals. It has nothing to do with the human spirit, my friend. We are not created equal to animals. We have been created above animals. Animals cannot reason. They can be taught tricks. They can be manipulated and taught to do things. You're kind to them. Of course a dog will come and lick your hand. Some would just as soon bite you as look at you. My friend, Paul is trying to teach us something here. If we want to know God, we have to have God's Spirit. And God's Spirit only indwells the believer in Jesus Christ. There is no other than that. The world is following the spirit of the world. We know who that spirit is, right? That spirit is Satan's spirit. He's doing everything he can to disrupt us and our spirits from understanding and receiving the truth. Okay? When we are saved, we find, if we're to look in verse 11b, he says, for the man knows the things of a man except that the spirit of a man which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Listen to me. You want to know compassion? You want to know real love? You know what it is? You want to know what it is to be really giving? Really humble? Really sacrificing? You want to know what it is to really be something different than what you are? Then you have to have the Spirit of God in your life. There is no other way. This is the spiritual man. The spiritual man can continually communicate with the Lord God. Because the Spirit of God is within us, communicating on our behalf with the Lord God. My Bible tells me there is one mediator between man and God, and this is the man Christ Jesus. It is His Spirit, the Spirit that He sent to His people as our comforter, as our teacher, as my guide and yours, so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has in store for us. And let me tell you something, my friend. You can't, if you're a believer, even imagine how awesome the purpose is and what purpose He has for you. You can't be a spiritual man just because you want to be. You can't be a spiritual man or woman just because you're on a church roll. You can't be a spiritual man or woman just because you might be a member of the right type of church. The only way that you are a person of God is when you belong to the household of faith, the family of God, and He opened up that door. And He indwells that believer. You see, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. And it's chaotic. But you see, I hold on to what is said here. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. What does it take to become a believer? It takes loving God for who He is and what He has done. I don't ever want to forget that. You can't forget that. It is the act that He performed on our behalf as sinners that saves us. You and I both know that as the crucifixion. But if it would have stopped there, we're still without hope. But it didn't. It continued on into the resurrection and the ascension and the entering into heaven to go and prepare a place for His people. Amen. You either know Him or you don't. You either are a part of Him or you're not. You see, the second man that He talks about here is in verse 14. He says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." He cannot, the natural man cannot know the things of God. Oh, they know the things of religion. They know the things of church policy. They know the things that might make an organization work. But they don't know God. They can't. And they can't because they are refused the Spirit that makes understanding open to them. Because they reject the truths of God as foolishness. I thought about what it is that I've heard so many times. The natural man not accepting or believing in. One thing is, the natural man doesn't believe in the death of Jesus for the sin of man. They don't believe in the death of Jesus, that somebody would die for people, past, present, and future. But yet they can still belong to a religious organization. But they deny the very truth of Scripture. It is foolishness to them. Miracles are foolish to them. The educated say, "Oh, Jesus didn't expel demons out of demon-possessed people. They were epileptic. There had to be some scientific reason that they threw themselves into the fire. And they bounced their heads on the wall." The Bible is clear. When it says that it is demon possession, you can count on it being demon possession. 1,000 of them came out and would rather go into pigs, into the water, than to be sent where they didn't want Jesus to send them yet. They deny that. They deny the miracles of Christ. They deny His incarnation. They deny that Jesus could be virgin born of a young woman by the Holy Spirit. They deny that. That's scientifically impossible. Then you have those, on the other hand, you got one every Christmas that's giving birth to another Messiah. Anything to take away from the impact and the power of what Scripture is teaching us. The incarnation is a powerful part of what God did and demonstrated to us. But they deny it. It's foolishness. They deny His resurrection. We all heard that one. The hole in the back of the tomb He had to sneak out of. Or the disciples came in and stole His body away. There was no rear entrance to those tombs, my friend. Guarantee you can go to Israel right now and you can check it out. It was a front exit only. Because they had never seen anybody get out of the place before Jesus resurrected Lazarus, that is. You see, they deny that. They deny the resurrection of Jesus because it takes their thinking and puts power in the hand of God. And it takes away the mind from the mind of man and the things that we think are possible. You know, We can do everything in our power to protect our children from these lies. But I'm going to tell you what will do it the best. Teaching them the truth of God's word. Because someday they're going to be out of our homes. Someday they're going to be on their own. And what they're going to have is what you and I have taught them. And we pray that when they leave that home, they have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that the power of the Spirit of God will be continually working in their life. Amen. Oh, what a job we have to do. All of us. From the eldest to the youngest. They also think it's foolishness to believe in the ascension. You can say, well, how do you figure? Because every Messiah that's come back since them has always come back in a car on the top of a mountain from the desert. Any place else but from the clouds, like Jesus said, that's how he's going to return. They come back in every other way the new Messiahs do. Don't believe it. They say, don't believe it because he's going to return as he left. Do you believe that today? Then you don't believe any of those cockamamie stories out there. Because they're lies. They're lies. But it's foolishness to the natural man. It's foolishness. They don't believe in his return. Once dead, always dead. So that's why we have to make up some kind of a spiritual thing. Using crystals and all kinds of nonsensical stuff. Stones that smoke. Stones that rock and roll when you throw them. All kinds of garbage out there. I remember getting a set of those stones sent to me when I was pastoring Drexel. Couldn't figure out, what in the world? If this was somebody's idea of a joke, I didn't find it funny. So I took a hammer and smashed them. Because I'm not into rolling stones. But I am into the return of Jesus Christ because I know he's coming. They think it's foolish to believe in his judgment on sinners. Hell? Aye. We don't want to go there. That makes me feel really bad. That somebody that is so loving would dare send me to a place called hell and judge me? Here it comes. This is what you hear. I'm only human. Is that a ring a bell? As an excuse for their sin? I'm only human? I've heard Christians use that. Yeah. I had somebody tell me one time. Said, it's okay if you sin, Pastor Mike. I said, really? Said, oh yeah, God understands. You're only human. Said, I see. Well, how come I don't understand then? What's the problem here? That doesn't seem to communicate with me. Do I sin? Oh, yeah, I sin. You sin. We all sin. But God judges sin, and he judged it through his son Jesus, and I'm not any longer having the penalty of that sin. Amen? I can get on my knees and ask God for forgiveness, and he'll forgive me and set me back up and give me power to drive through the next time. Amen. He'll give you that power to drive through it. It may take a few times. You may stumble here and now. But he'll give you the strength to power through it if you call upon him and trust in him. It's foolishness to believe in deity. That Jesus Christ is God. It's not possible. He was just a good rabbi. He was just a good teacher. That's what many of the religions will tell you today. The Moonies will tell you that Jesus, you know, he tried to do his best, but his disciples abandoned him. They crucified him. So now Sun Myung Moon is the new Messiah. Mm-hmm. That's what they'll tell you. Now listen to me and listen carefully. There was one plan for God's Son Jesus Christ. And that was his death, his burial, and his resurrection for our sin. That was God's plan, and that's exactly what happened. But to the world, to the philosophers, to the great thinkers, it's foolishness. You see, that's the natural man. And understand this, the natural man is the unsaved man. The hell-bound, dying, going to eternal punishment man. Even though God has proved himself. You know, I was thinking about how much they're pushing evolution on our kids and on adults as well. And I thought, you know, it's up to a trillion years now for evolution. And I got to thinking about where they have to start for evolution. It's got to be trillions of years to the 10th power to begin with. Because you got to, the thing didn't just come from this to an ape and then an ape to us. What about all these other things out here? Where did they fit in this evolutionary chain? What about the mosquito? What about the leech? They all had to come and develop into that at some point. So all of these things, it'd take billions, billions, trillions. There's not enough time to make that happen. And yet, the natural man would rather believe that than to believe a loving God created all that there is for his good pleasure and his glory because he loved us and he loved his creation. So we've got the spiritual man who has the Spirit of God and can communicate and understand the things of God. And then we have the natural man who thinks the things of God, the real principles and truths of God, are foolishness. But then he finalizes it with kind of an addendum in chapter 3. Look at what he says here. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Okay, that tells us and gives us the indication of what a carnal-minded man is. It is a believer stunted in their growth. Okay? They're babes in Christ. You know what the greatest tragedy on the face of this planet in the church is? Is somebody that's been a Christian for 60 years and is still a baby in Christ. They're still down in milk. Instead of chewing on a good healthy steak, they're down in milk. And you want to know why that is? There's been no discipleship in their life. There has been no mentoring in their life. There's been no encouragement in their life. And many times they choose to stay where they are because they don't want to grow to go. This carnal man. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able." You know, that's the greatest challenge for a pastor today. How does he preach to reach all of those in the congregation? Because I'd love to say, you know what, you are all in here in the meat stage. But it's not true. Some are in a milk stage. So how do I do that? I plant the Lord and say, how do I do that? He said, you can't. He said, but I can. So now I don't worry about it. I let the Holy Spirit speak to the heart of his people and give the message that he wants to give. And whatever that message is, listen to it. Because it's a message from him. Because he loves you. Well, he goes on further to say, he says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" If we go back, we can understand what the problem is. What are some signs of a carnal Christian? Well, if we go back to verse 3, he says, "For you are still carnal, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" We need to listen to what he's saying here. If we're contentious, and we're not loving in the body, and we're not working together to grow and to go, if we have envy for another, strife. The word strife literally means angry or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues, conflict. That's what strife is. Even in the greatest, most solid Bible-believing church, why do we have strife? Why do we have envy? Why do we have divisions? Because of baby Christians. Those that refuse to get off the bottle. That's why. And we older, mature Christians are just sitting by and letting it happen. So don't blame it all on them. We need to take our place as God's leaders, God's people, and help the baby bottle-fed Christian to mature into understanding because they can't grasp it. That's what he says. In verse 5, he says, "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." Think about that. He says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Do I hear an amen? God gives the increase. "So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Too many times, this pulpit is used for a place of pride. And I don't like it. Not at all. Because I have nothing to be prideful about. Nothing. I don't do anything. God does everything. I preach the word. The Holy Spirit delivers the word. I speak what he tells me to speak. He lays it on your heart as he so chooses to do so. And when you make a decision for him, it's by his hand, not mine. So the question is, if we are a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, are we held back by carnality? That's the question we need to ask. We can be a believer that is out of sync with God because we're listening to the philosophers in the world around us telling us what we think we need to think and what is important. Instead of getting into God's word and fellowshipping with one another to encourage and to raise up and to fight discouragement and depression and to know that God is good and that he can bring us through anything. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be towards all men, for the Lord is at hand." And he's at hand right here today, near your heart. The question is, what will we do with him? Carnal or natural? The first step. Spiritual or natural, and then carnal fits just under the category of the spiritual man. Are we growing? I've challenged my class to let us prepare ourselves to be disciples. and mentors in our congregation. To go from knowing to practicing. To go from observing to doing. God didn't save me to just feel comfortable sitting and standing in the pulpit to preach. I want every opportunity He gives me to tell somebody about the loving God that I serve and the salvation He's given me. And I want my class to be as excited about it as I am. Because our God, He is good. Amen. As we prepare this morning for our invitation, I'm going to ask you, we're going to pray that God tender our hearts this morning. And whether you come to the altar, whether you come to have me a prayer, whether you pray right there where you are, God's going to hear that prayer. And He's going to know if you're sincere or not. Don't utter it if you don't mean it. Because you condemn yourself. But maybe some of us are said, you know, I'm tired of walking the road I'm walking. I'm tired of splitting hairs when I should be on the one side of the fence for my Lord and not trying to straddle it for myself. You and I, we can't care what the world thinks. You and I, we can't care what politics thinks. You and I, we can't care what the natural man thinks. We only should care what God thinks. Because that's all that's important.